In 1997, two attorneys in Orlando, Florida, working with their coach, decided to create a marketing event that would combine their love of golf with the passion they have for a particular charity. So they teamed up with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, their favorite charity, and then they sought out an interesting golf course that would lure their referral sources away from their busy practices. And remember, their referral sources are just like yours, usually other attorneys. And in their first event, they attracted over 80 referral sources, raised over $50,000 for their charity, and created a huge marketing success. What these two attorneys did is they tapped into a classic win-win marketing scenario. They combined their passion for golf, their interest, and their commitment to making a difference in the community with an effort that would engage their referral sources. As a result, they created an event that the attendance was high at, everyone had a good time, and they boosted the profile of the firm. They boosted it significantly. In Rainmakers, we usually will look for ideas that will energize your marketing efforts, help you develop your referral sources, and raise your profile in the community. Asset number 12, the signature marketing event, does all of that and more.
That was Mark Powers, and I'm Sean McNallis with Atticus. We're here to talk to you about how you can host your own signature event for the Rainmakers program. In a minute, I'll tell you more about the forms located behind tab number 12. But before we get started on that, Mark, could you sort of set the context for this particular asset?
Yeah, in Rainmakers, we have 21 assets. And today we're going to work on, obviously, asset number 12. Your job as a marketer is over time to collect each one of these assets, build them, develop them, and over time, like building wealth in your personal life, you collect assets. Here, you're building marketing wealth by working on each one of these assets. So today, we're going to help you engage and work on asset number 12.
Mark, what three things do you want the listeners to come away with from this discussion?
Number one, we're going to describe to them what the signature marketing event is, discuss why it's valuable from a marketing perspective. We're going to give you lots of examples that you can draw on for your own ability to create one, and then we're going to challenge you to create your own signature marketing event. So I think those are the three main things I want them to bring around, that they're going to actually understand what it is, how it works, and they're going to create one. And let me talk about how something qualifies as a signature event. A signature event is a gathering that's distinctive in some way because of its theme, the entertainment you create around it, or education, the food, whether it's a holiday. It's themed. In addition, the signature event should showcase or profile you and your staff and your firm. It usually happens on an annual event, and the idea is to create a gathering that people look forward to, something that they want to attend each year, and it's sought out. An invitation is sought out to get each year. The more people seek it out to get the invitation, the better your signature event is. So it's an event that forces us to market each year because it's annual and it gets people working on it and thinking about it every year.
Let me tell you a little bit about the forms behind tab number 12, and I'll give you just a quick mention here because they are more numerous in this behind this tab than any of the other assets. We've done our best to try to give you just a really good overview in the first form of what a signature event is. So that's 1201. 1202 is the general planning tip sheet. You would use this with your team. In fact, you'd use all of these with your team. Then we go through golf tournaments, reverse seminars, holiday events, marketing, other different marketing events, and so forth. We supply you with guest lists, invitation tips, and so forth. There's something like 10 forms behind your tab. You don't need to be looking at those while you're listening to us talk, but we do encourage you to go back to them after the call and when you get an opportunity, because you'll want to use these with your team. Now, Mark, tell us, how do you claim this rainmaking asset?
Well, you actually must, each of the rainmakers must plan and host an event. And the event, as we said earlier, should have an interesting theme. And it should be something that will promote the firm or profile you in the community. And it's something that can be repeated on an annual event. And it has to be something that you can be known for. And that's thus we call it the signature event. But it's something that you get known for over time.
You know, before we get too far into this, I don't want the attorneys who are listening to be overwhelmed at the prospect of holding an event that will mean a great deal of additional work for them. Most of you are very busy, and I know this may show up like, oh, just one more thing to do.
Yeah, it's a good point, Sean. When we talk about this, usually a signature event once the event is set upon and you decide on the planning and how you're going to do it, it's really delegated. The most of it is delegated to your team, your marketing assistant, and they're the ones that are going to help organize and run it on a regular basis. Your job is to help market it and make sure you're inviting people to it. So you usually, when first you're planning it, you'll meet regularly to discuss the arrangements, the catering, who will be invited. Prior to the event, depending on the timeline of the event, making sure that the marketing assistant is getting the invitations mailed out. So this is mostly what's going to be done. It's really going to be an event that is, once it's the event is created, is going to be delegated to your team.
Whenever I coach my clients on hosting a signature event, I find it really energizes their marketing in many different ways. For one thing, it forces them to get their top 20 list together and, in many cases, their farm team list together. But you mentioned that the event should be distinctive in some way. How should a rainmaker decide upon his or her theme?
Well, you know, there's a lot of possible themes that they can pick from, and we're certainly going to go through a number of them here. Everything from a client, something very casual with a client appreciation event, to we've seen things that are very elegant affairs promoting a charity cause, to simple holiday events. You'll choose a theme that truly works for you and something that's consistent with you, something that you'll really enjoy or have fun with. The best themes spring out of your interests, your hobbies. There are events that I think that the whole firm can get behind once you've created them. You know, a lot of our rainmakers across the nation have been doing these various events for a long time, and they've used a lot of different ideas to inspire their own signature events. So I think in sharing some of them, that people get a sense of what kind of signature event they can create, Sean.
Can you give us a couple of examples of what other people have done?
Well, I've got a couple of good examples. You know, one was we just talked about the golf tournament the attorneys. And let me just take a minute, Sean, why I think that was so important, why that event was so important from a marketing perspective. Think about it for a moment. For 3 to 4 months before that golf tournament, those two attorneys from Florida got to invite all of their referral sources. Now, they didn't limit it to just attorneys. They actually started with attorneys, but then they opened it up to other referral sources like doctors. So it was they had 3 months of inviting, a reason to start inviting people and talk to them. And then they had the event, and during the event for this particular one, now golf tournament obviously isn't for all of us, but for them it was. They didn't play during the tournament, though. They actually drove around the carts. They shook hands with people. They bought drinks for people. They took pictures with people. Then after the event, they spent another month sending out pictures, sending out thank yous, and stopping in. And they gave them a reason to stop in and visit people. It gave them a reason to set up lunch, go to breakfast, and talk about the event. All of this created a marketing event that kept them connected out in the marketplace. And this is what we talk about when we talk about top-of-mind awareness. Now, when those two attorneys, and regardless of what the event was, this one I'm referring to was golfing, when they went out there, they didn't necessarily talk business. They had a reason to talk to them about something else, and business would come up because these are all people they were engaged in their particular area of interest. So it's much more than, I want people to get, it's much more than just having an event. It's really what happens around the event that creates the marketing. So, we did so much work in Florida in the early years. We've got other examples. And I'm reminded of another attorney in Florida. And he wanted to host a holiday open house. Now, he feared that the gathering would be lost in the end-of-the-year frenzy of other parties. You know what I mean? There's always another. We just talked about this with holidays. But around the end of the year, it's so easy to get blended in with all of the other events. To stand out from all the competition of all the other events, he took a chance on a holiday event that had been a favorite of his in childhood, Halloween. Now, this is, granted, this isn't around the holidays, the Christmas holidays. He created around Halloween.
It really wasn't an unusual but inspired choice.
It really was. Now, you and I might not, or you may not do it around Halloween, but they sent their invitations out in a tube that had this ghostly sound when you open it. They actually bought it from a thrift shop. And when they opened it, it had all of this Halloween stuff in it. And they held a party at noon, invited all of their referral sources who came along with their clients. And you wouldn't believe how many people they got to show up. And it was a hit. And now they do it every year. And it's something that they get known for. So everybody else is doing holiday parties. They did this around Halloween, and it stands out from everybody else. But they're known for it, and it's a luncheon event, and people actually do come in costume. And it's fun. They include other people's staff. So, again, it's something that's a little bit different, but they could do it and do it every year.
It's very different. What other holidays are popular for those people that don't want to do just an end-of-the-year holiday party?
You know, really, you want people to get creative. And again, it's something to do with your market helps. We have attorneys in New Orleans that do a Mardi Gras event. And we've had people do an April Fool's event. There's a firm in Nashville that did Mardi Gras as their signature event. And what they did was they personally went out and delivered what's called king cakes. And if you're from the South, or you're from places that do Mardi Gras events, you know what a king cake is. And it's a traditional Mardi Gras pastry. But they sent it out with their invitations, and people loved to get it. Something they talked about around the office, and it created a buzz. Further south, in another firm, they invited a group of referral sources to an after Thanksgiving Day party. Everyone was to bring, what they invited people to do is bring their leftover turkey, their leftover dessert, their leftover pumpkin pie, and they created an event around that. Again, I said April Fools. This sounds like an odd one to do, but there's a rainmaker that does a very good job with this. He wanted to do something fun, and that was unusual. He actually hires a jester for the party to circulate throughout the crowd. They give a prize for the best lawyer jokes. He pokes a little fun at himself. And a week or two after the party, all of the jokes that they were created were emailed to the attendees. And so it's just an event. He gets known for it, and he does it every year. He gets to blog about it now. He gets to write about it. So those are some of the things they can do.
Now, we're starting out with sort of the very not very serious theme parties. I mean, these are themes that are a little more on the funny side. And to finish this particular section, let's cap it off with having you tell about the sumo wrestling party.
Well, and that sounds so odd, doesn't it? It sounds like something you would never do. I would never do an April Fool's party. I would never do a Halloween event. And I'd definitely never do sumo wrestling. These firms are carrying it off very well. Let me talk about the sumo wrestling because it sounds odd. But what the firm, it was a multi-partnered firm, and what they did was they challenged some of the other organizations, other law firms, banks, referral sources, their firms. They actually challenged the leaders in a joking way to these sumo wrestling things, and they actually would rent a ring, and you can do this, you can rent them, and these big balloon-like costumes that you get into, and you take the leaders of the firm, and they actually go in, and they sort of bounce off each other, and they did it for charity. And it was great because the staffs come out, people come out, and they have a little fun with themselves, and they create an event around it. And so, you know, it's not some, obviously we all wouldn't do this, and there's more traditional things you can do. But this was an unusual approach, and it actually worked as a signature event, and they get a lot of notoriety out of it. It was a big hit.
So now let's talk about some of the slightly more serious examples that we've seen among clients and some of the ones that most of you may be a little bit more comfortable with. Mark, at the beginning of this conversation, you talked about the attorneys who held their golf tournament and made it a fundraiser for their favorite charity, in this case, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Do a lot of firms do this? Do they have the charity tie-in?
Oh, absolutely. It's a great way to do it because it gets more attention. It also, and by the way, they do this out of authenticity. They're actually interested in these charities, and it's a way to help the charities, but it's also a way to combine that charity, something they're interested in, and get attention in the marketplace, create top-of-mind awareness, and something to invite their, something to invite their referral sources. So, you know, a lot of firms invited their referral sources and others in the community who would be interested in learning about the cause that they're championing, and then they stage this fundraising event. The event might include a guest speaker. It might include a panel of speakers if necessary. It could be a performance of some kind. It could be a dinner or a cocktail party. I know, attorney did a for his 40th birthday, he actually made an event of it, and he invited all of his referral sources to come to a dinner. He paid for the dinner. So this was a very good restaurant. He paid for the dinner. He probably had something like 60 or 65 people, and he told them that what he wanted them to bring is not any particular gift. He wanted them to bring their favorite book. And so what he created was this event where people were talking up their books. They each bought a book that they loved, that they thought was interesting, and they talked about other books, and he got a library of all these great books. But people really had a great time in doing it. So you can take time at any of these events to really inform the attendees about your cause along the way, what's important to you. Sometimes you might have a charity and you want to suggest a donation. You might even sell some tickets in advance, something to help the charity if you wish to do that. So you'll really get to design something that works for you. And if you combine it with a particular social issue, you'll get to combine it with a cause that you're committed to and that makes a difference.
Can you give us a couple of examples where people have, other than the golf tournament, where people have combined their charitable efforts with their signature event?
Yeah, we have an attorney, one of the rainmakers, that he really saw an opportunity to promote his firm and cause and a particular cause that he believed in. And he actually invested in this because he thought it was pretty important anyways. But he created a program called Lawyers for Literacy. And what he did was get other attorneys to mentor and read to kids to help them with their speaking. So he combined it with the school system. And he gets a lot of notoriety in the local bar journal, and I think even the state bar journals now, because they talk about his program, Lawyers for Literacy. It's a great program. And we had another attorney in New York State who took a similar approach to this. They focused their marketing around community service. So in each spring, they sponsor a bike safety day to promote safe cycling, the importance of wearing a helmet. Obviously, they've seen the damage that can happen to children in bicycle accidents. And so they take the time to do that, promote that event, and it's to preempt future accidents, but it's also raising awareness about children and their parents.
How about client appreciation events? Do some people do events centered just on their clients?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's a great thing to do. There's a lot. It's a great activity to make sure you spend the time to acknowledge and appreciate your clients. And a number of rainmakers hold client appreciation parties on an annual basis. And they invite past clients and even present clients. Sometimes they combine that with referral sources. So if their goal is to promote or build rapport and to acknowledge people that send them business, you know, obviously naturally invite their referral sources, and they encourage their partners to do the same. So, you know, some of the events, Sean, I remembered someone actually hosted they rented a movie theater. Now, some of these things will sound odd to you listening, but they actually work very well if you're willing to give them a try. But they rented a movie theater, and then they were doing a particular new movie that was showing, and it was a G-rated movie, a kid's movie, I think. But I don't think it was too childish, but it was a G-rated movie, and they invited all of their referral sources. And as they came in, their clients and their referral sources, they and the staff stood at the door sort of as like the maitre d' thanking people for the business they've given throughout the year, welcoming them into the movie theater. And then the attorney was able to make a speech before the movie started. And it was to really authentically thank and acknowledge them for all the work and that what they've done in helping them build the firm. And we just wanted to say thank you. And that's why we're doing this movie. So they were able to give a little speech for it. So, you know, people have done these client affair things. They've done them in ballrooms with people. They've done them in their own office. They don't have to be lavish affairs. But make sure that enough effort has happened in the planning and the decoration, the entertainment, so the client feels genuinely, authentically appreciated. I can remember one other client, Sean. They did a celebration of diversity party that featured food from all the different ethnic cultures. And since their clients came from different backgrounds, it was pretty well received. The gathering was serenaded by a couple of the firm's clients who happened to be working musicians. And we always advocate that. If you can pull, some of your clients have catering businesses or their family do, pull from them. If there's magicians, pull from them. Musicians, pull from them. So, you know, and if they had to, they held a tent in a parking lot to do this. It was a great way to show appreciation.
And what about other events that might involve the client's family?
Well, you know, I remember someone did Circus in the Big Top Tent. Circus in the Big Top Tent, that was their theme. And it was family-oriented, and it was designed around client appreciation. And so they had circus food, face painting, games for the kids, a dunking booth for the attorneys. It was really a highly attended event. It was very fun. And I want to just say one thing, Sean. Again, it was I want to remind people, it's not just the event. It's something that is themed, something memorable, but it gives us time and energy for a month or two or even three. We get to invite people to this. Those are all marketing contacts, which we always need 3 marketing contacts a week. So anyways,
this all adds up. And what about events that are a bit more elegant?
Well, that's doable, too. We had an attorney in Calgary, Canada, who's a rainmaker, and he wanted to thank his referral sources with an open house. And so to encourage circulation throughout the house, he placed food stations in booths throughout the house, upstairs, downstairs. And as a special touch, a member of his staff handed out small bottles of champagne that were tagged with the firm's name and logo, and it gave it to them as they were departing. According to the attorneys, the parting gifts made a big impression, and it really garnered the most compliments in the buzz. There was an upstate New York firm. They were fortunate enough to have a partner who was a very good wine enthusiast. And so they capitalized on his knowledge and his connections, and they hosted a wine tasting in the lobby. And they did this actually a little bit more than, annually. They did this a little bit more, but they got wineries to participate, and each guest was given a wine glass, and it was graved with the firm's name so they could take it home. So this was a very good event as well.
I've actually had clients that have gone to wine bars and rented the wine bar or a large room in the back of a wine bar before, and actually conducted private tastings and invited referral sources and special clients. And they've kept it small but done more than one a year, and that's been kind of a nice, elegant way for them to do it. The same firm will also take They happen to be in Chicago, and there's a rooftop bar, I guess, restaurant and bar that they've rented out before that allows them to see into Wrigley Stadium, and they can actually invite people and they can watch the game from this rooftop location. That's been a big hit with them as well. They also take full advantage of the Chicago waterfront there and have hired these large dinner cruise boats to have parties, and they've invited referral sources, and those have been quite well received also. So we've gone through holiday themes and client appreciation and family-oriented events and upscale events. Are there other reasons to have a party?
Well, absolutely. Now, I'm not, again, remember we're trying to create something that's a signature event, something we'll get known for, we can do every single year. It's institutionalized. Why that's so important, by the way, is that if I'm just doing breakfast, lunch, dinner, and my marketing, it's easy enough to reschedule and cancel those. But if every year you have a golf tournament or every year you're having this annual holiday event, this Halloween event, if it's that, or this Thanksgiving Day event, it's harder to cancel those. And it forces us, really, it's almost a forced marketing event for us to keep us moving and keep us thinking. So there are a lot of different things we can do, but not always qualifying as a signature event. For example, if we've hired a new associate or brought in a new partner, obviously we want to throw a party. If we've just been elected to some office in a bar, we have the firm throw a party to acknowledge that. It's a great thing to do, and we can invite a mix of our referral sources. It's another reason to get together. We could show off our new office. You know, if we've just moved into new office space, it's mm-hmm. a great time to show that off and make sure we're having people come in. Now, we can't do that on an annual event, but if you can't institutionalize it as a signature event, you could at least create a new reason to get together and have a party.
Well, some people might like the idea of a signature event, but want to do something that's a little bit smaller. What smaller approaches have you seen?
Yeah, again, to remind everyone that you're going to be delegating. Once it's set up, the biggest work is getting it set up. But after that, it's delegated to your team. They run the event for you, your marketing assistant or your assistants. But in the event that you want to do something smaller, you don't want to do something on the grand scale. There's a lot of local events that are in close proximity to your office that you can consider. There may be an opportunity to piggyback with a small gathering that's based on other local events. You know, we've had attorneys with offices in prime viewing of parades or walking distance from an art festival or close to a community, outdoor community concert. And what they do is they invite a select group of referral sources and or clients to their office during those events. So they hope like have an open house throughout the day and it's close. They might even host parking because their office is right there close to it. And then they go over and they attend the event. They take pictures. They provide refreshments, make sure they have a bathroom for people. And this is kind of cool because they don't have to create the whole event. All they have to do is piggyback off it. It's a small investment in food and beverages. It's minor compared to all this is a minor investment when you consider all the goodwill that you're going to get for creating this and time with your referral sources and the hospitality that you've created for them. So this is a very good thing to do, Sean.
We focused on discussing several different types of event, and there are many different benefits to hosting a signature event that go well beyond having people just show up at your house or your office. We've hit on these a little bit. Can you talk more about those hidden benefits?
Well, yeah. If you're contemplating the idea of hosting your own signature event, which I recommend that you do, it's helpful to know that there are a lot of unexpected benefits that occur prior to the actual event. I think I may have talked to some of these, but the first benefit occurs when you've established the guest list. As a matter of fact, there's a form in your Quick Start kit tab number 12, that will help you put your invitation list together. But to even put this list together and create it, you'll have to think about and list out your best referral sources. And there's a real benefit to that. It provides a lot of helpful data, and it's also good for future marketing purposes.
And Mark, if I could break in here, I also want to say that if you're hosting a signature event and you've been attempting to get your partners to put together their top 20 list for marketing purposes, and all of you should know what a top 20 list is by now. Those are your best referral sources. This is a great way. Having people fill out a list of people that they want to invite for a party, they're probably going to draw upon the people they think are their best referral sources. So it's a great way to get them to write down all their best referral sources in one place. And then you can use these lists for future marketing, you know, sort of strategic marketing.
Absolutely. And another benefit, and it's a little, it might be surprising to people, but your practice will receive referrals even from people who don't attend your event. Why? It's because they're receiving an invitation, and sometimes that's enough just to tip the top of mind awareness and remind them. And then when they have a brother or sister or relative that has an issue, they're able to send them to you. And so just sending out or making the invitation creates another hit or another top-of-mind awareness that will lead to referrals. So when you combine those benefits with the real opportunity it provides to spend time with your clients and your referral sources in a great atmosphere, the signature event can really deliver surefire results in your branding of your firm and encouraging referrals.
So creating a signature event can do a great deal of good in the community. It can provide an opportunity for you to interact with many referral sources, and it helps create buzz about your firm.
Exactly. And whether you base the theme on your hobbies, on your interest, on a community event, or a holiday, you'll ensure that your firm is noticed. You'll have created a gathering that people will remember and something that they'll look forward to year after year.
Tell us again how you acquire this rainmaking asset.
Well, to acquire the asset, you have to actually have an annual event. So it has to be annual. It has to be an event that can be memorable for your referral sources. It's something they look forward to. It's something that's themed and accentuates your firm's image, your brand, or something around your core values or something around you. It's something that the media might be interested and so you'll have to have this event planned and created. And as a reminder to Sean, it doesn't have to be this big effort for us, because you're all very, very busy. So it's organized and run by your marketing assistants or your key assistants. And try to think about making sure you create the invitation to be cool, to be fun. The invitation in and of itself can create a buzz. And make sure that there's plenty of lead time in inviting people. And also that there's follow-through after the event, acknowledging, thanking people.
Sending photographs, bringing photographs over, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. So to say you've actually done this, you'll have to have the event, and it'll have to be an annual event. And those are sort of things you want to think about when doing it. And Sean, let me say one other thing. For some of you, actually, a signature marketing event could be educational. So it could be workshops and seminars that you get known for and you do regularly. And we're going to do a special call just on creating workshop marketing through your workshops and seminars, which I actually include within the world or domain of signature events.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mark, for discussing this really important part of the rainmaking process, asset number 12, the signature event. As always, we're Sean McNallis and Mark Powers, co-founders of Atticus, and we're dedicated to helping you grow your practice. Thanks for joining us.